إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 13th lecture in this second part of the topic related to the Qur'an. This specifically, our topic in this part is Kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his character was the Quran, by Sheikh Abdul Muhsin, the Sheikh Abdul Razak, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al Abad Al Badr, hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Tonight our topic is going to be based upon the final two hadith that the Sheikh mentions here, yani hadith number 13 and 14. And before we look at those two hadith, for tonight, we want to quickly take a look at some of the points that we covered last week related to hadith number 11 and hadith number 12. Okay, so the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 12, first question being, memorize the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, in which he negates from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam three evil character traits. Naam, Shuaib is directly in front of me. Naam.
An Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu qala lam yakun an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wasallama sabbaban wala fahashan wala
la'an. Naam. Tafadhal. Yeah, finish.
وكان يقول لأحدنا عند المعتبة ما له ترب جبينه.
ما له ترب جبينه. نعم. Okay, somebody help us with the meaning of this hadith, hadith of Anas. Anybody else help us with the meaning of the hadith of Anas, and in which he negates from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم three evil character traits. نعم.
Anas bin Ibrahim. He negated from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم being a sababa, which is a person who does a lot of verbal abuse.
Okay, and?
Fahasha, if someone has, there's a lot of indecency either verbally or physically.
Naam, indecent.
And wala'an is someone who curses the creation of Allah.
Curses the creation of Allah, naam. And in the end of the hadith?
And he said,
anybody? Know what he said in the end of the hadith? Naam, Abdullah.
He said, ma lahu taribat jabinuhu.
Naam. Ma lahu taribat jabinuhu. What does this mean? What does this mean? يعني ما له يعني ما الاستفهام ما له. What does that mean? What's wrong with him? What's happening with him? What has occurred with him? نعم. تريب جبينه.
He said يعني.
يعني just in general the meaning of it.
كان يقول لأحدنا عند المعتبة يعني he used to say to one of us in times of blaming.
Yeah, when he wanted to censure someone or يعني نعم reprimand them. He would say, "Yani, what is with him?
Yani,
may his forehead be covered with dust." This is the general, any meaning of it, literal meaning of it. Anyway, this hadith is a very important hadith. We talked about it in detail, or at least in some detail, last week. And I just want us to just, yani, reflect on these three characteristics and the other characteristics that may go along with them. Yani, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not described with having these character traits, evil character traits. And he was not described with having these types of any behavior. And this is very important that we focus and we reflect upon it a little bit and make sure that we are not from the people who could be described as such. Question number two, and also I want to say that memorizing the hadith is also a very important part of learning, as much as we can, especially if they're short hadith like this, we should try to memorize them. We should try to memorize hadith. When we study them, we should try to memorize them. If we can't memorize them, at least memorize the meaning, the correct meaning of them, and then try to apply it in our lives so we don't forget it. So when we relate it to somebody, we can say there's a hadith, the general meaning of it is such and such. But if we can memorize it, it's better to say it exactly the way it came. Memorization is important. Question number two, discuss each of these three evil character traits which Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu negates from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith. Discuss each of these three character traits, these evil character traits which Anas radiallahu anhu has negated from the Prophet. The first of them is sabab. Sabab, naam. The first of them is sabab, naam.
Meaning he wasn't one who would abuse the people, speak ill of the people.
He wouldn't abuse the people in speech, speak ill of people. Anything else you want to add to it?
I mentioned in the previous dars that this, the form of these words are sigatul mubalagha.
Sigatul mubalagha, shows exaggeration, something to its highest degree. Now, so sababa means somebody who abuses people, speaks ill of people, reviles people, degrades people with speech. And we know that this is something that is actually forbidden in Islam, right? Because the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith, Sibabul Muslim Fusuq. Naam. So abusing the Muslims, Sibabul Muslim Fusuq. Abusing the Muslim is sin. It's a sin. Naam. Whereas fighting him is kufr. Fighting with a Muslim is kufr. Tayyib. The second of them, fahashan. Fahashan. What does it mean, fahashan? Naam. Ibrahim.
Badir kalam, indecent speech.
Indecent speech.
Or action.
Or action. It's more so used with speech, but indecent speech or action. Some of the scholars said, ishtadda qubhuhu, aw kathura qubhuhu. That the person's repugnant speech or behavior, vile speech or behavior, indecent speech and behavior, went to the extreme. It's severe. And it was a lot. It was plentiful. A person is doing this a lot. This type of indecent speech or indecent behavior. Especially speech, but also behavior. Indecent behavior, like we see every day in the streets of New York City. A person relieving themselves in public, in broad daylight. A woman cursing at a little infant, 2 years old, loud out in the street with 100 lines of indecent language. We see this every day. This is the kind of behavior that is foreign to the Muslim. The last of them is la'an, la'an, also sigha mubalaka, shows exaggeration in doing this thing, or a lot of it. Naam, Abdullah. And then I'm going to go into the back and ask for some answers back there now.
Calling for the curse of Allah upon someone?
Calling for the curse of Allah upon someone. But of course, meaning, extensively or, plentifully. A person does it a lot. And he goes to the extreme with it. Goes to the utmost, beyond the bounds, with this kind of, speech or behavior. Calling for the curse of Allah upon the people or upon anything in the creation. And of course, the curse of Allah be upon them. The clearest meaning of this, as the scholars said, if the line of Allah is upon someone, it means al-bu'd, bu'd and rahmatillah. The person is distanced from the rahmah of Allah, from the mercy of Allah. Tayyib, question number three, what would the Prophet ﷺ say when he wanted to admonish someone, reprimand someone, rebuke someone, according to this hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu? What did he used to say to them, ya Tariq? He used to say, that's if somebody, the Prophet said that to the people who, he said something that wasn't clear. He said, wa alaykum. But if he wanted to admonish somebody for something that they had done wrong, he would say to them, ma lahu tariba jabinuhu. Ma lahu tariba jabinuhu. Meaning, what's wrong with him? What's wrong with him? What has happened to him? What has afflicted him? What has befallen him? There's something happening with this person. Ma lahu? What is it? May his forehead be covered with dust. Question number 4, mention the two possible meanings of this expression as suggested by Al-Imam Al-Khattabi rahimahullah. Yani Al-Imam Al-Khattabi gave two of the possible meanings of this expression, tariba jabinuhu. He said that it has two possible meanings. Nobody in the back? Want to give us something on that? It's not in the book now. It was in our discussion last week. Okay, let's go, Abdullah.
One is that the person will fall on their face so that the dust touches their forehead.
One of them is that the person may fall on their face. Tariba jabinuhu, may he fall on his face. So that his forehead will be, yani, touched by the dust. Dust will cover his forehead. That's the literal meaning of it. Shu'aib, second meaning he said.
Could be making dua for the person?
It could be that he's making dua for the person, but ta'a, yani that for that he do acts of obedience, such as that he, for example, will pray, and when in the process of prayer he has to what? Put his forehead in the dust. Put his forehead in the dust. These are two possible meanings. And in any case, yani mostly all the scholars are in agreement that the reality of this expression is not what is intended. Yani the Arabs used to say something like this. They didn't really mean may his forehead be covered with dust. They didn't literally mean that, but it's a saying that's intended to encourage a person to do good or discourage them from evil. Now, after this, question number 5, discuss briefly the benefit. Discuss briefly the benefit that may be derived from the chapter heading, the bab in Sahih Muslim for this hadith number 11. From the bab and Sahih Muslim. What was the bab in Sahih Muslim first? Now, what was the bab? Now, bab. Now,
book,
book of virtue. Okay, kitab. That's kitab. Kitab al-fadail. Now, the bab. Now. Naam, that's one of the babs that it came under, but Imam, yani in Sahih Muslim, the bab that it came under here was, Kathratu Hayaihi. Kathratu Hayaihi. Yani that is the point that we're trying to indicate here. He had said, bab Kathratu Hayaihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa husnu khuluqihi. But the point here is what? Kathratu Hayaihi. Yani that the chapter heading indicates that the Prophet ﷺ was very, very modest. Yani haya, kathratu hayai. And in this hadith there's an indication of his haya. That he wasn't a sabbab, he wasn't a fahash, he wasn't a la'an. But he had modesty. He was shy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he didn't yani engage in this kind of behavior due to his modesty. Due to his modesty. His haya, yani with the people, and more importantly his haya with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani he chose consciously the virtuous behavior, the fadila, over the yani shameless behavior, shameful behavior. Question number 6, summarize the incident narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha about the evil greeting of the Yahud to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in hadith number 12. Abdul Haq.
So the Jews came to the Prophet Muhammad and they told him Assalamu alaikum, which means peace be upon you. So Aisha got angry and she responded back to them, may that also be upon you and the curse of Allah and his anger.
So now,
So the Prophet Muhammad told to be easy. And I enjoin you with gentleness and be aware with harshness and excessiveness.
Now,
she says, the Prophet said, didn't you hear what I said? The Prophet replied, didn't you hear what I said? I told them the same. And what I told them will be accepted by Allah, and what they said to me will not be accepted.
Naam. Yani Aisha radiallahu anha, in summary, she narrates that a group of Yahud came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they, yani, said to him, Assalamu alaikum. Aisha radiallahu anha responds with more than that. She returns to them, yani, wa alaikum, and goes on to say more than that. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani, told her, be easy. Mahlan ya Aisha. Take it easy, slow down. Yani, don't go to the extreme with this. Be gentle. Yani, and beware of being harsh and going to the excessiveness. Okay? And then to the end of the hadith, she said, didn't you hear what they said? As though the Prophet ﷺ, perhaps he didn't hear what they said. And he said, didn't you hear what I said? And I heard what they said. I said, wa alaikum. And that was sufficient. No need to go to the extreme. This is a tremendous hadith, really. And it has many angles to it. And we didn't discuss different all the angles of it, but we just looked at it briefly. Where we just talked about, yani simply, what they said and what she said, and what was the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the summary of the hadith. It is a hadith that requires some study, and there are many, many benefits in it. Okay, so let's just look at it a little bit more closely here. Question number 7, mention the exact words with which these Yahud addressed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the significance of these words. What were the exact words that the Yahud addressed him with? Nobody in the back? Tayyib Shuaib. There's somebody in the back? I can't see them, I'm sorry.
There's somebody in the back.
Yeah, but anyway, go ahead, father.
They said to the Prophet Assalamu
alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum, meaning?
Death be upon you.
What is it? What is the significance of these words? Yani, the meaning of them is that they were actually supplicating. Yani, in their language, assalamu alaikum, in their language, this means al-maut. Yani, death be upon you. So it is as though they are supplicating that death befall the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not necessary for us to discuss this, but just think about this. Hey, people came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they knew who he was because it came, yani, his description and the prophecies came in their books, and they said, death be upon you. Death be upon you. Yani, what are evil people? What are evil people? question number 8. Mention the exact words with which Aisha radiallahu anha responded to these evil words of the Yahud on this occasion. What were the words of Aisha on this occasion? Naam, Ibrahim. Naam. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, wa alaykum, which would have been sufficient. Yani, wa alaykum al-maut, yani, death be upon you, wa alaykum al-sam, yani, death be upon you, that would have been sufficient, but she went on to say, wa la'anakum Allah, and may the curse of Allah be upon you, wa ghadib Allah alaykum, and may Allah's wrath be upon you. So, yani, of course, nothing that she said was really out of line, it's just that it wasn't in line with the manner and the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't respond like that. He was certainly capable, able to respond with the like of it. But he just said, wa alaykum, and that indeed is a lesson for us. The last question here, memorize the words of admonition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Aisha radiallahu anha on this occasion and their significance. Yani, the words of admonition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, Abdul Haq. Naam. The Prophet ﷺ, he responded, he admonished Aisha, and he said to her first, the first words he said to her, mahlan ya Aisha tu, mahlan, yani be easy, take it slow, be deliberate. Yani, this is a tremendous advice. We can take this advice, especially in a situation where there's some difficulty or hardship or yani some emotion. Be easy, be gentle. Don't be in a hurry. Take your time. Be deliberate. Think about what you are doing and think about what you are saying. And then he said, it is incumbent upon you to be gentle. Alayki bi rifq. Gentleness. Gentleness is incumbent upon you. And he said, beware. Beware of, yani, of what? Wa iyaki? Naam, aggressiveness. Harshness. Yani, beware of harshness. There's this. Yani, there may be a place for it, naam, on the battlefield, but in dealing with people, interaction with people, there's no fighting involved. This is not the place for harshness. And he said, beware of al-fuhsh. Yani, which here, the meaning of it probably is excessiveness. Excessiveness in, yani, this repugnant, yani, in evilness, in bad speech or whatever, excessiveness in it. Because there wasn't anything foul about the words that she used. But her excessiveness in going to the extreme, going beyond the bounds, yani, it was sufficient for her to say what the Prophet said, wa alaykum. That was sufficient. But she went beyond that. And the Prophet ﷺ reprimanded her for this. And it's important for us to keep in mind, yani, from the scholars of hadith, the Mu'tadil scholars, they used to yani, be be moderate in their speech. When they criticize a narrator, they would be moderate. They wouldn't go to the extreme and be excessive and say everything they knew bad about him, right? They would say that the minimum that was sufficient to criticize him, and the people know, don't take from him, and that was it. And not go beyond that. And this is the example of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that these scholars were following. And this is the example that we should be following. Let's go to our hadith for tonight. Allahumma salli. Tayyib. The first hadith that we're going to take tonight is next to the last hadith, hadith number 13 in this series from our topic, Kana Khuluquhu Al-Quran. Yani at the end of this topic, the Shaykh has talked about a number of hadith from Bukhari and Muslim which relate to the character of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This hadith is reported in Sahih al-Bukhari, Kitab al-Adab, in the Book of Manners, Bab, Lam Yakun Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Fahishan Wala Mutafahishan. Yani this hadith actually came under different abwab, different subtitles, but in any case, the narration that the Shaykh mentions, yani the wording of the narration came here in Bukhari, yani under this bab, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not fahish or mutafahish. Yani he wasn't somebody that was obscene in his speech or in his action naturally, nor one who went beyond their nature to be yani vile or obscene. He wasn't one who engaged in it at all. The hadith is a hadith that's narrated from Aisha radiallahu anha, anna rajulan ista'adhana ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani a man asked for permission to enter upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Falamma ra'ahu, and in some of the narrations, walamma sami'a sawtahu, and other narration came like that, here came, falamma ra'ahu qala bi'sa akhul ashirati wa bi'sa ibnu al-ashirati. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he saw that man enter at the first yani sign of his entry, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what an evil brother of his people, yani his tribe, his people, this man is. Or what an evil son of his people, yani what an evil member of his tribe or his people he is. Yani he is an evil member of his people. فَلَمَّا جَلَسَ تَطَلَّقَ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم فِي وَجْهِ وَانْبَصَطَ إِلَيْهِ. So when the man sat, yani when he came to the presence of the Prophet ﷺ and he sat with him, the Prophet ﷺ smiled at him. And the Prophet relaxed with him, and the Prophet talked to him, yani gently, kindly, and politely. The Prophet smiled at him, and he was polite and courteous and kind in his yani speech with the man. فَلَمَّا انْطَلَقَ الرَّجُلُ قَالَتْ لَهُ عَائِشَةُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ حِينَ رَأَيْتَ الرَّجُلَ قُلْتَ لَهُ كَذَا وَكَذَا. And so when the Prophet ﷺ finished talking to this man and the man went away, Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, O Messenger of Allah, when you saw this man, you said such and such, yani what he had said about him upon the entry of the man. ثُمَّ تَطَلَّقْتَ فِي وَجْهِهِ وَانْبَسَطْتَ إِلَيْهِ. But then, after you said that, and the man came into your presence and he sat with you, then you smiled at him and you talked to him kindly, politely, courteously, and you relaxed with him, yani showing yani as though you were yani receiving him yani happily. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So the Prophet, he responds to Aisha to this ishkal. Yani she's saying, you said this when he came in and then you treated him like this. Yani how does it go together? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responds, يَا عَائِشَةُ مَتَى أَحِدْتِنِي فَحَاشًا. Here we go back to fahash again. Yani he said, oh Aisha, when did you know me to be a fahash? Yani a person who goes to the extreme, exaggerates, yani is yani obscene, yani who has behavior that's repugnant, that's disgusting, that's deplorable. When did you know me to be such a person? That's not my character. Whatever that man was, the Prophet ﷺ has a character. He doesn't let anybody take him out of his character. Yani that's important for a Muslim. And we have a certain character, but then we let people take us out of our character. And then we act like them. And we're screaming and shouting and cussing and just acting like animals, savages, not animals. Like kuffar. Like pagans. When did you know me to be a fahash? إِنَّ شَرَّ النَّاسِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَنْزِلَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مَنْ تَرَكَهُ النَّاسُ اتِّقَاءَ شَرِّهِ. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he explained to her, first of all, this is not my character. When did you know me to be this type of character, obscene person? And then he explained to her that indeed the most evil of people in front of Allah in terms of their manzila, their station with Allah, the most evil of people in front of Allah in terms of their station on Yawm al-Qiyamah, the position that they will be on Yawm al-Qiyamah, are the people who, people leave them, abandon them, separate from them, avoid them to protect themselves from their evil. People stay away from them because they know these people are vile, obscene, disgusting, repugnant. So people, yani, avoid them, stay away from them. Protect yourself from them. Yani, if you have to be in the presence of that person, you have to protect yourself from them. Prophet ﷺ said, these are the sharran nas, inda Allah manzilata yawm al-qiyamah. Yani, this is something he's saying about what will be a person's station, what will be their status. On yawm al-qiyamah, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be the worst of people. The people who other people try to avoid because of their evil, especially their evil speech, their obscene speech and obscene language and behavior. This hadith also came under different abwab, any different subtitles, the scholars have given it, different subtitles. Before I talk about the hadith in any detail, I'm going to just look at the subtitles because maybe I will forget if I don't. So, yani, one of the subtitles that came in the Sahih al-Bukhari, the hadith is narrated by Imam Bukhari in several places. One of the titles that he, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, narrated this hadith under, Kitab al-Adab, Bab, Ma yajuzu min igtiyab ahlul fasad wal rayb. Yani, what is permissible, that which is permissible, in terms of backbiting the people of corruption, and the people of, yani, suspicious behavior, yani, whose behavior is not, yani, well. Yani, in this hadith is an indication that it's permissible to backbite those people, ahlul fasad and fisq. Also, it came in Bukhari under the title, and another place in Bukhari, Kitab al-Adab. In Kitab al-Adab also, he came with the title, Bab al-Mudarati ma'an-nas. Al-Mudarati ma'an-nas. Yani, being, al-Mudara means to be gentle, to be easy, to be kind with the people, yani, even if, yani, that's not what they deserve. To be gentle and kind with the people, sometimes, and the meaning here is what? To protect yourself from their evil. It came in Sahih Muslim, Kitab al-Birr wa-Sila wal-Adab, Bab Mudarati Man Yuttaqa Fuhshuhu. Yani, being gentle, being kind, yani, from with the people who it is feared, yani, that there's a need, or I should say, that there's a need to protect yourself from their vile behavior, from their obscene behavior. Yani, being kind with them, yani, being polite with them, being courteous with them, due to what? Yani, in order to protect yourself from their vile behavior. Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, yani, it's narrated in Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud and other books, but Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi also narrates it, yani, Kitab al-Birr wa-Sila, an Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Bab ma ja'a fil mudarati. And the reason why I'm mentioning these abwab, because it's to show you that some of the scholars, yani, Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmidhi and different scholars, they gave titles to some of these hadith that were very close in meaning, because they understood the core meaning of it was like this. So they mention here, Tirmidhi mentions what? The Bab ma ja'a fi al-mudarati, yani, what has been narrated related to being polite and courteous and kind, yani, to people, yani, with an objective, of course, for a reason, for a purpose. In any case, Aisha radiallahu anha, she said in this hadith that a man, and some of the scholars mentioned that the man was Uyayna ibn Hassan, and some of them said that it was, yani, Makhrama ibn Nawfal. And in any case, there's difference of opinion exactly who that man was. That's not what's important. What is important, that a man came, and this is what happened. Yani, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He asked permission to enter upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when the Prophet saw him, and in another narration, heard his voice, he said, "Bi'sa akhul ashirati wa bi'sa ibnu ashirati." Yani, evil is this man. Yani, evil, an evil brother of his people is he, or an evil son of his people is he? Meaning, an evil individual from those people. He is an evil individual from amongst his people, his group, or his tribe, or his people. Some of the scholars said in the explanation of this hadith, explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari, they said that the Prophet ﷺ said, بِئْسَ ابْنُ الْعَشِيرَةِ, meaning, يعني he is an evil man. Why? كَانَ يَظْهَرْ أَوْ يُظْهِرْ الْإِسْلَامِ وَيُخْفِي الْكُفْرِ. يعني he used to openly show Islam, meaning present himself as a Muslim while he was hiding kufr. يعني the Prophet ﷺ knew his real condition. And he's showing one thing, the people see something nice, but in reality there's something else there. And the Prophet ﷺ knew this. فَأَرَادَ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَنْ يُبَيِّنَ حَالَهُ. So the Prophet ﷺ wanted to make clear his real condition, the reality of his condition. He's an evil man from amongst his people, even though he's presenting himself as a good person, as a Muslim. Some of the scholars said that this speech from the Prophet ﷺ is from A'lam al-Nubuwa, from the signs of Nubuwa, because indeed this man had apostated after the Prophet ﷺ, and he was brought to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu as a prisoner. فَلَمَّا جَلَسَ تَطَلَّقَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي وَجْهِ وَانْبَسَطَ إِلَيْهِ. Yani when the man sat with the Prophet ﷺ, Prophet knowing his reality, having said what he said about him, but he knew his reality, when he sat with him, the Prophet smiled at him. And the Prophet showed, yani, some signs of happiness. Yani, it's nice to have you. Now, he knows his reality, and he also knows how to handle people. Okay, you know you're dealing with a shaitan, and like some of the people now in the public view, right? How do you handle them? Do you go back and forth with them on the same level that they're on? Do you steep to their level? Do you yani reciprocate in kind with the same kind of language and behavior as them? That's not what we found in Islam from our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani, be wise. Yani, follow the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled at him and showed some signs of any happiness to have him in his presence. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajj al-Asqalani, in his explanation Bukhari, he says, due to the fact that the Prophet ﷺ was given yani the character of being honorable, noble, generous, kind, and having been given good character, that was his character. That's the character that he displayed with people. And also, due to his hope in bringing that man, attracting him to Islam, so that that man's people may accept Islam, because he was the leader of his people. And first of all, the Prophet treated the man in a way, that was the way he treated people, that was his character. And secondly, he also had hope that he could attract this man to Islam, being the leader of his people might also follow. So for this reason, he said, the Prophet ﷺ أظهر له البشاشة. The Prophet ﷺ smiled at him, openly smiled at him. And the Prophet ﷺ did not meet him, yani didn't confront him with yani evil behavior or evil speech. And Al-Hafiz, he says, and also لتقتدي به أمته في اتقاء شر من هذا سبيله أو هذا يعني or بِهَذِهِ sifa. يعني the Prophet ﷺ also did this so that his ummah may follow his example in the way he dealt with this man, in order to protect themselves from the evil of one who is like this, who is like this man. So that the Prophet ﷺ intended that we take him as an example also in this situation where we have an evil person in front of us, in order to protect ourselves from their evil and indecency. And also, يعني treating the man kindly, courteously, and politely, ليسلموا من شره وغائلته. And also, so that you'll be safe from his evil and from his harm or danger. So the Prophet ﷺ, يعني according to Al-Hafiz ibn Hajj al-Asqalani, رحمه الله رحمة واسعة, he said the Prophet ﷺ treated him like this. Why? Because this was his character. Secondly, in order to attract the person to Islam, perhaps as a leader of his people may enter into Islam. And thirdly, yani, to save yourself from that type of person's evil and harm and danger. فلما انطلق الرجل قالت عائشة يا رسول الله حين رأيت الرجل قلت له كذا وكذا. يعني so when that man got up and left, Aisha radiallahu anha, she said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, when you saw that man, you said such and such and so and so. Yani, evil is that man, yani an evil brother of his people, an evil son of his people he is. And you said such and such and so and so. ثم طلق يعني تطلقت في وجهي وانبسط وانبسطت وانبسطت إليه. يعني then, after saying that, the man sat with you and you smiled at him and you treated him kindly, you showed يعني a signs of pleasure of يعني having him in your presence. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said in response to this, يا عائشة متى أحدتني يعني متى علمتني, when did you know me to be a fahash, a person of obscene speech or obscene behavior? Indeed, the most evil of people with Allah in terms of their station on Yawm al-Qiyamah are those who the people leave them, avoid them, stay away from them in order to be protected from their evil. Yani, a certain type of behavior should be displayed, should be utilized with these people in order to protect yourself from their evil, to repulse their evil, especially their evil speech. The scholars, they said, because this man who's mentioned in this hadith, he was from those rude, crude, rough Bedouins. And the people who was in the desert, they were rude, they were crude, they were vile. And the Prophet ﷺ knew all of this about him. I'm trying to pay attention to the time. Allahumma musta'an. Some of the scholars, in the explanation of Bukhari, my various different scholars, Al-Aini, Al-Hafiz Al-Asqalani, Al-Qastalani, and we looked at some of the different explanations of Sahih Bukhari, and some of them mentioned various things concerning this hadith. I'm just going to mention a couple of them quickly. And in this hadith, there's a very important point. أَنَّ مَنْ اتَّلَعَ مِنْ حَالِ شَخْصٍ عَلَى شَيْءٍ خُشِيَ أَنَّ غيره يغتر بجميل ظاهره فيقع في محظور معه فعليه أن يطلعه على ما يحذر من ذلك قاصد النصيحة. يعني whoever came to know, became acquainted, became aware of the condition of a person, something about this person which it is feared that other people might be misled, might be deluded, might be deceived by his beautiful outward appearance. Seems like a nice guy. But whoever came to know something other than that, due to which if the people were deluded, deceived, were misled by his beautiful outward appearance, they might fall into some harmful matter, some danger. فَعَلَيْهِ أَنْ يُطْلِعَهُ. Then it is incumbent to make this person aware, to make them know about that thing that they should be warned from, intending by telling them this, nasiha. Intending by it, nasiha. Yani you know that this person is yani a con man. And you see somebody who looks at him and sees that he's a nice Muslim, good guy. He's coming to the masjid and he's renting out homes. But you know that he doesn't own the homes. He tricks people, he rents them a house, it belongs to somebody else. They stay there for a while and the real owner comes to find out somebody's in my house. So you know that. It's incumbent upon you to tell those people, to make them know about it. And this is from the bab of nasiha. This is part of nasiha, that you advise people in order to protect them from the harm that you know they might fall into from such a person. Also in this hadith, there are a number of other points. Al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah, says in this hadith, is jawazu ghibati al-mu'alin bil-fisqi wal-fuhshi wa nahwi dhalika min al-jaw في الحكم والدعاء إلى البدعة. Some of the other scholars alluded to these points, but Al-Qurtubi explained it in a way that's very beneficial. He said in this hadith is an indication of the permissibility of ghibah, backbiting, the person who openly displays their fisq, who openly displays their fisq, or their fuhsh, their indecency, their obscenities, or whatever is like that, such as injustice in their rulings, or calling to innovations, along with the permissibility of treating that person kindly, courteously, politely, in order to protect yourself from the evil, as long as doing so doesn't lead you to al-mudahana fi deenillahi ta'ala. As long as it doesn't lead you to what? Compromising the deen of Allah. As long as it doesn't lead you to compromising the deen of Allah. Naam. We'll suffice with this. So that, what? Yani treating a person kindly, politely, courteously, in order to protect yourself from the evil, yani is from the example, the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ that he has taught us in order to protect ourselves from evil, while at the same time being careful not to go so far with it that you actually compromise the deen of Allah. The second hadith tonight is hadith number 14, the last hadith in this series from this topic, also reported by Al-Bukhari in Kitab al-Adab, Bab Husn al-Khuluq wa Sakhai wa ma yukrahu min al-Bukhli. Yani this is one of the subtitles that it came under in Bukhari. Yani the bab Husn al-Khuluq, yani the good character, and as-sakhai, yani generosity, being generous, giving freely. وَمَا يُكْرَهُ مِنَ الْبُخُلِ, and that which is disliked from being stingy, being miserly. The hadith, yani, before we read the hadith also, in some of the books where this hadith is collected, it's mentioned that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ajwad al-nas, he was the most generous of people. And he was most generous in Ramadan, yani to the end of the hadith, talking about the generosity of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also, yani Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he said, when it reached me about the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he had been sent, I said to my brother, ride to this valley, yani to this place, and listen to what he is saying. So when he returned, he said, رَأَيْتُهُ يَأْمُرُ بِمَكَارٍ الْأَخْلَاقِ. Yani his brother came back to him and told him, I heard him commanding the people with good character, having excellent good character, that people should have good character. He heard this from him. And this is showing that the Prophet ﷺ was known for this. This is hadith, yani that is reported from Sahal ibn Sa'ad, radiallahu anhu. Qala, جاءت امرأة إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ببردة. يعني سهل بن سعد, he says رضي الله عنه, that a woman came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم with a بردة, يعني a type of a garment, clothing to wear. فقال سهل للقوم, يعني سهل, as he's narrating the hadith about this, he said to the people, أتدرون ما البردة, do you know what is the بردة؟ فقال القوم هي شملة. فقال سهل, يعني they said it is a شملة. Actually a شملة is something that, يعني cloth or something that the people wrap themselves in, that you wrap around yourself. فقال سهل هي شملة منسوجة فيها حاشيتها. يعني then he defined it a little bit further. He said, okay, you can use the word شملة, but it is something, يعني a clothing, a garment that is weaved and it has some, يعني hashia, yani like a yani a hem or something, yani it's hemmed, yani sewn, weaved garment that has a hem. فقالت يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the woman, yani he goes on to say, she came and she had this burda and she said, O Messenger of Allah, أكسوك هذه, I want to clothe you, I want you to wear this, yani garment, I brought it to you so that you may wear it. فأخذها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم محتاجا إليها فلبسها يعني فرآها عليه رجل من الصحابة فقال يا رسول الله ما أحسن هذه فاقسنيها. يعني the woman said, I made this garment so that you may wear it. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم took it from her, يعني محتاجا إليها, يعني being in need of it. He took it being in need of it. So he wore it. And then a man from amongst the Sahaba, رضي الله عنهم أجمعين, a man from amongst Sahaba saw it upon him, and he said, O Messenger of Allah, oh how excellent it is. يعني ما أحسن هذه, يعني تعجب, it is, يعني, oh how wonderful this garment is. So why don't you, يعني give it to me to wear, let me wear it. فقال نعم. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Now take it." فَلَمَّا قَامَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لامه أصحابه قالوا ما أحسنت حين رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أخذها محتاجا إليها ثم سألته إياها وقد عرفت أنه لا يسأل شيئا فيمنعه فقال يعني the man said رجوت بركتها حين لبسها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لعلي أكفن فيها. يعني the man he asked the prophet for it, he said oh how wonderful it is, it's so beautiful, may I have it to wear. The prophet said نعم, he gave it to him. When the prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم got up and left from amongst the people, his companions, يعني the other companions, they blamed that man. They said, ما أحسنت, you have not done well. That was not good what you just did. ما أحسنت, you have not done well. When you saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم taking that garment, محتاج إليها, being in need of it. Not only that, was he in need of it, why would you ask him for it when you know he only took it because he needed it? ثم سألته إياه وقد عرفت أنه لا يسأل شيئا فيمنعه. And you already know that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is never asked for something and then he holds back. He doesn't give it. You know that if somebody asks him for something, he gives it. So the man, he responded by saying, رجوت بركتها. يعني what I intended by this, I hoped to get the barakah of this garment. When I saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم wearing it, then I hoped that there's some barakah in this garment and that perhaps I will be shrouded in it. يعني meaning when he dies, perhaps يعني the barakah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم wearing it will benefit me when I die, يعني I can be shrouded in it. In terms of يعني some of the points from this hadith, Sahl ibn Sa'd, يعني he رضي الله عنه says that a woman came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajj says, I didn't know her name. يعني Al-Hafidh is so meticulous in his explanation of Bukhari that anybody who's mentioned without their name, he searched and searched and searched until he found out who was that person. A man, a woman, a child. He finds out who was that man if they're not named. Here he said, لم أعرف اسمها. I didn't know who she was. And he couldn't find in all of his vast knowledge and reading, he couldn't know who that woman was. In any case, a woman, she came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم with a burda, a garment, and يعني when Sahl ibn Sa'd, when he's narrating the hadith, رضي الله عنه, to the people that he was narrating, who were present when he was narrating this hadith, he asked them, do you know what is a burda? And they said, it is a shamla. And then he said, yeah, it's a shamla, يعني meaning that it is a garment, it's a garment, يعني it's a cloth that is sewn, it has a hem, يعني to wear as a garment. That woman, after he explains this, he says, that woman said, O Messenger of Allah, I want you to wear this. يعني I made this for you so that you may wear it. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he took it from her. He said, أَخَذَهَا النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم مِنْهَا حَالَ قَوْنِهِ مُحْتَاجًا إِلَيْهَا. يعني he took it from her while his condition was that he actually was in need of it. And it wasn't just a gift. Somebody gives you a gift, you accept it. But rather he was in need of it. He needed a garment. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he wasn't going out shopping every day buying new clothes. He didn't have a lot of clothes. That lady brought that to him. Perhaps she knew that he was in need. She made it for him personally, specifically, and he was in need of it, so he took it. So he wore it. But when a man from amongst the Sahaba saw him wearing it, and it is said, according to the different scholars, they said that it was Abdurrahman ibn Auf, radiallahu anhu. Yani as is reported by Al-Tabarani, Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Naam. But in يعني Al-Hafidh, he said that he didn't come across that in the narrations of Tabarani, as it was suggested, but rather he came across another narration from Qutaybah, أنه Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas. Yani it is said that it may have been Abdurrahman ibn Auf, it is said that it may have been Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with both of them. Yani two distinguished, outstanding companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from there, yani distinguished, is that they are from Mubashirin ibn Jannah, yani from the 10 people, Al-Ashara, from Mubashirin ibn Jannah, 10 people promised paradise. And this is important, yani to know sometimes, if we know, yani when somebody is mentioned without mentioning their name, to know who they were, because perhaps we might start thinking things, what kind of man is this, The Prophet ﷺ is wearing this garment. He knows that he needs it. He knows that he doesn't reject anybody. He asks for it. So perhaps they might lead us to having some evil thoughts about this companion. But if we know that it may have been Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu, or Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, then that should remove those thoughts that we have. In any case, we should never think evil of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, so he said, "O Messenger of Allah, ma ahsana hadhihi, oh how wonderful this is, faqsuniha, so let me wear it, clothe me with it." Faqala sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Naam," the Prophet said, "Naam, take it." So when the Prophet got up sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the other companions, they blamed him and they said, ma ahsanta, here ma is what? Ma nafia. You have not done well. That wasn't good what you just did. And it is narrated in some of the books. At-Tabarani has made it clear, in a narration that came from him, that the one from amongst the companions who actually said this to him, it was Sahal ibn Sa'd, the narrator of this hadith. In the narration of Tabarani, قال سهل فقلت أنا قلت له ما أحسنت. It was Sahal ibn Sa'd himself, the narrator of the hadith, who actually said this. When he narrated the hadith, he said, لامه أصحابه قالوا ما أحسنت. Listen to how he said it. He said, they said, they blamed him, and they said such and such. He's the one who said it himself. But anyway, sometimes the companions, when they narrate something, even though what he said was something good, but he didn't take credit for it, he just said the companions. They scolded him for this. For doing this, knowing that the Prophet ﷺ was in need of it and that the Prophet ﷺ never refused a request. You have not done well when you saw the Prophet ﷺ taking this garment, being in need of it, and then you ask him for it. Then there's some linguistic discussions here for the Arabic class. We'll save it for Arabic class, and I'll bring it back up on Sunday. In this statement, حِينَ رَأَيْتَ نَبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَخَذَهَا مُحْتَاجًا إِلَيْهَا ثُمَّ سَأَلْتَهُ إِيَّاهَا. يَا طُلَّابِ الْعَرَبِيَّةِ سَأَلْتَهُ إِيَّاهَا. مفعول الأول والثاني, الثاني منفصلاً. الأول متصلاً. There's some discussion about this from Ibn Malik and the other scholars. They said about this particular expression, it's not really necessary for us at this point because of the nearness of time. وَقَدْ عَرَفْتَ أَنَّهُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ لَيُسَلْ شَيْئًا فَيَمْنَعُهُ. You know that the Prophet ﷺ, not only was he in need of it, but he doesn't refuse a request when he's asked for something. The man, who requested it from him, he defended himself by saying, رَجَوْتُ بَرَكَتَهَا. That I did this in hope of receiving the barakah, the blessing from this garment due to the Prophet ﷺ having worn it. رَجَوْتُ بَرَكَتَهَا حِينَ لَبِسَهَا النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَعَلِّي أُكَفَّنُ فِيهَا. Perhaps I will be shrouded in it. From amongst the points of this hadith, الحديث سبق في الجنازة في باب من استعد للكفن في زمن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. This hadith was also narrated by Bukhari in the book of funerals under the chapter the one or one who prepared himself with the kafan, the shroud for being buried during the lifetime of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He didn't wait until he was close to death or he was sick in the hospital getting ready to die and try to get a shroud. He prepared himself in the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for his death. And this is also a point for us that we should, everybody knowing that you must die, we need to prepare for it. Don't wait until the end and it's too late and somebody else has to provide a shroud for you, find a grave plot for you and pay for your funeral expenses. Rather, you should prepare for it in advance. Also, of no great importance, but in any case, some of the scholars also said in the explanation of Bukhari, the chapter heading, one of the chapter headings came Husn al-Khuluq والسخائي وما يكره من البخل. The chapter, good character and generosity, and that which is disliked of stinginess or miserliness. They said, that this hadith is in agreement with this chapter heading. The hadith fits this chapter heading. and its agreement with it is apparent. من حيث إنه متضمن معنى حسن الخلق والسخاء والسخاء يفهمه من له فهم ذكي. يعني the chapter heading here is apparent. يعني the hadith fits the chapter heading in that it contains the meaning of good character and it contains the meaning of generosity, and this will be understood by anyone who has understanding, who is intelligent. This is yani the end of what I wanted to mention tonight, and anyway, we still have a few minutes left on our hour. Does anybody have any objection to us finishing this course tonight? There's some closing comments from the Sheikh. If somebody's in a hurry, if people are in a hurry, we can save it for next week or we can finish now. Anybody have any objection? Is anybody pressing for time? Okay, let me just have the closing statement of the Sheikh and we'll finish tonight. In which case, next week, inshallah, we'll have a gathering. Bi-Iznillahi Ta'ala. Everybody should bring something. Will you be available? Yeah, Sadiq. To pick up food next week for the class, will you be available? Type. So, do you know how much we paid for the food last time? About? Approximately? Close? 250? 300. Okay, so brothers and sisters, whoever's here tonight who's able to help us to pay for the food next week, we're going to take a collection, right? We're going to take a collection. Ibrahim, why don't you take the collection? We're going to take a collection, and then whatever you can give. No, not now, after the class. After the class, inshallah. Not now, after the class. We'll take a collection so that Sadiq can pick up some food for us next week. Whoever wants to bring something, bring something. Next week, inshallah, at this time, after Salatul Isha. Okay, the Shaykh, he closes by saying, Al-Hadith of this meaning, yani of these hadith that we have just discussed over the last few months, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are kathira jiddan. The hadith of this meaning are so many. Whoever becomes acquainted with the two books, al-Shama'il lil Imam al-Tirmidhi wal Adab al-Mufrad lil Imam al-Bukhari wa ghayrihima, and other than them, whoever became acquainted with these books from the books of this people of knowledge, يَقِفُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ كَثِيرٍ, then a person will come across a lot of hadith like this concerning the good character of the Prophet ﷺ, like we have been discussing in the last few months. لَكِنْ لَعَلَّنَا نَخْتِمْ مَجْلِسَنَا هَذَا بِخَاتِمَةٍ هِيَ فِي الْحَقِيقَةِ. And I want to read this in Arabic because the translation here of this point in the book is بَعِيد كُلَّ بُعْد, and it's not accurate at all. Doesn't even it's off. Okay, so I want to read it in Arabic so whoever can understand it, and pay attention when you're reading the book. On this point here, translation is wrong. And I'm saying that because it's important here. It's not just a difference, it's a completely different matter altogether. And they're saying one thing, he's saying something else. The Sheikh says, perhaps we will close this sitting with a closing that in reality is zubda lima yambagi an takuna alayhi halu من يقف على هذه الآداب وهذه الشمائل وهذه الأخلاق العظيمة التي اتصف بها نبينا الكريم صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. Perhaps we will close this gathering with that which in reality is the zubda, is the essence, the zubda, the essence of what it is ينبغي أن تكون عليه حال من يقف على هذه الآداب. The essence of what is expected, should be the condition of the one, the person who comes across these adab, manners of the Prophet, wa shamal, characteristics of the Prophet, wa akhlaq, and great characteristics of the Prophet, which our noble Prophet have been described with. This that we're going to close with is in reality the zubda, the essence of what should be the condition of the person who has read these hadith, who has heard these hadith, who has studied these hadith. What should be your condition? What should be my condition? What should be our condition? This is the core of it. This is getting right to the point. What should be the condition of the person who came, became acquainted with these characteristics, qualities of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rawa al-Baghdadi, Khatib al-Baghdadi, fi kitabihi al-Jami' li akhlaqi al-Rawi wa adab al-Sami. And in his book, that the gathering together, comprehensive gathering of the akhlaq of the rawi, the one who narrates the hadith, and the adab of the sami, the one who's listening to it. Yani the person who's teaching and the one who's learning. Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi, he narrates, rahimahullah, عن محمد ابن شهاب رحمه الله محمد ابن شهاب who is الإمام الزهري إمام التابعين الإمام الزهري محمد ابن شهاب أنه قال يعني this is the statement of الزهري himself إن هذا العلم أدب الله الذي أدب به نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم وأدب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أمته أمانة الله إلى رسوله ليؤديه على ما أدي على ما أدي إليه فمن سمع علما فليجعله أمامه حجة من سمع علما فليجعله أمامه حجة فيما بينه وبين الله عز وجل يعني محمد بن شهاب الزهري رحمه الله he said إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمِ This knowledge of the Prophet ﷺ, of the Sunnah and of his character is the adab of Allah, yani the cultivation of Allah with which he has cultivated his Prophet ﷺ. And which the Prophet ﷺ, with which the Prophet has cultivated his Ummah. This knowledge, it is an amana, the amana of Allah. Yani the trust that Allah has given to His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that He conveyed in the way it has been conveyed to Him, and that we convey it the way it has conveyed to us. فَمَنْ سَمِعَ عِلْمًا So whoever hears knowledge, yani who comes across these hadith that we have heard and that we haven't heard, that are in the books of the scholars of Islam concerning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then place it in front of him as a hujjah. Place it in front of yourself as a hujjah. A proof for you, yani, in the day that will come in which you, yani, that will be between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani, hujjatan fi ma baynahu wa bayn Allah azza wa jalla, yani, it will be a proof for you, yani, when you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make it as a proof for you. How will you make it as a proof for you? That we act upon it, that we practice it, that we exemplify it, that we live it. وهذا الكلام يعني the Shaykh Abdul Razak is saying وهذا الكلام لمحمد بن شهاب رحمه الله كلام عظيم جدا the speech of محمد بن شهاب it is tremendous speech اختصر فيه القول فيما ينبغي أن يكون عليه المسلم وهو يقف على الآداب العظيمة والأخلاق الرفيعة التي اتصف بها نبينا Al-Kareem, salawatu Allah wa salamu alayhi. Yani he said that this tremendous speech, اختصَرَ فيه القول. Yani he has summarized in it, Muhammad ibn Shihab has summarized in this speech, yani that which is to be said concerning what is incumbent upon the Muslim, what is incumbent upon the Muslim while he is coming across these, yani adab al-azim wal-akhlaq al-rafiyah. Yani this Yani these manners, these great manners of the Prophet and these lofty yani character traits of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he, our noble Prophet, has been described with. Yani this is what is incumbent upon us, that our condition should be. وَذَلِكَ بِأَنْ يَجْعَلْ هَذِهِ الْأَدَابِ مَحَطَّ نَظَرِهِ وَمَوْضِعَ اِحْتِمَامِهِ وَمَحَلَّ إِنَايَتِهِ وَرِعَايَتِهِ And that is, yani, that is, what should our condition be? That we should make these adab. The place that we are looking at, yani mahatta nazarihi, that we should be looking at it, focusing on it, yani concentrating on these adab, these manners of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa mawdi' ihtimamihi, and this should be the place that we, yani, show, yani, importance, concern about, that we give concern, ihtimam, that we, yani, that we make it important to us. Yani it's something muhim to us. It's not just a light matter. That this is something important to us. Wa mahalla inayati wa riayati. Yani something that we show care for and concern about and we give attention to. فَلَا يَكُونُ حَظُّهُ مِنْ هَذِي الْأَدَابِ مُجَرَّدْ السَّمَاعَ And his our portion of these adab, these manners, should not be simply that we heard them, that we read them, that we studied them, that we memorized them, simply listening to them. بَلْ يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَكُونَ حَظُّهُ مِنْهَا التَّأَسِّي وَالْإِقْتِدَى وَالْإِحْتِدَى بِأَخْلَاقِ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم الكريم عليه الصلاة والسلام وآدابه الرفيع. But rather, our share, our portion, yani what we get from these hadith, these narrations, these adab and akhlaq of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, should be that we make it as an example for us. That we make it, yani as the Prophet, as our model to be followed, as a pattern for, as a pattern of guidance for us. That is, yani the character of the Prophet, the noble Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and his manners. And then the Shaykh, he says, closing, وَكُلُّ مَا عَظُمَ حَظُّ الْعَبْدِ مِنْ هَذِي الْأَدَابِ عَظُمَ حَظُّ مِنَ الدِّينِ. Yani the more, the greater a person's share, the abd, the worshipper's share of these adab, the greater that a person acts upon them, the greater will be his portion of the deen. وَكُلُّ مَا عَظُمَ حَظُّ مِنْ هَذِي الْأَدَابِ عَظُمَ حَظُّ بِقُرْبِ الْمَنْزِلَةِ مِنَ النَّبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. And the greater is the person's portion of these adab, the greater will be their portion of nearness in station to the Prophet, the noble Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. Yani the more a person practices these manners, the nearer they will be in station to the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. كما جاء عنه صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال إن من أحبكم إلي وأقربكم مني مجلسا يوم القيامة أحاسنكم أخلاقا. That indeed, from the most beloved of you to me, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and the nearest of you to me in sitting, in position on يوم القيامة, will be the best of you in character. وسئل, يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was asked, عن أكثر ما يدخل الناس الجنة, yani what will be the thing that, the most thing that will cause people to enter the paradise? He said, تَقْوَ اللَّهِ وَحُسْنُ الْخُلُقِ. It is taqwa of Allah and husnu al-khuluq. Taqwa of Allah and husnu al-khuluq. وَجَاءَ عَنْهُ صلى الله عليه وسلم فِي غَيْرِ مَا حَدِيثٍ الْحَثُّ أو الْحُثُّ عَلَى تَحَلِّي بِمَحَاسِنَ الْأَخْلَاقِ وَكَرِيمِ الْأَدَابِ وَجَمِيلِهَا وَطَيِّبِهَا. And it has come from the Prophet ﷺ in so many hadith where he encouraged the people to adorn themselves, beautify themselves with good character, with noble manners, with the beauty, the beautiful of it, and the good of it, the excellent of the manners. Beautify yourself, adorn yourself with it. And in the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, Allahumma zayyinna bi zinatil iman. O Allah, adorn us with the adornments of iman. ووجب على كل مسلم أن يعتني بهذا المقام عناية عظيمة وأن يهتم به اهتماما كبيرا تحليا وتأسيا بأدب نبينا الكريم صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وبخلقه العظيم. And the Shaykh closes by saying, it is incumbent upon every Muslim to give care and attention, يعني إناية عظيمة, great care and attention, وأن يحتم, and to be concerned, to give importance, احتماما كبيرا, give great importance to adorning oneself and to following, يعني taking as a model and example the adab of our noble Prophet صلوات الله وسلام عليه and his يعني great character. زادنا الله أجمعين توفيقا وتسديدا واتباعا للنبي الكريم عليه الصلاة والسلام وصلى الله وسلم على رسول الله. And the Shaykh closed by supplicating that Allah increase every one of us in being successful and in correctness and in strict adherence to the noble Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام وصلى الله وسلم على رسول الله. Naam. So with this, Yani, we have completed the reading of these two topics, the Quran, the Hablullah al-Mamdud, and Kana Kulukul Quran. And I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indeed will give us success and enable us to be correct in our behavior, purify our intentions, and to yani make us to be from those people who actually feel the need and the necessity that we act upon these tremendous narrations from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and how he dealt with the people, young and old, Muslim and kafir, those who were near to him and those who were strange to him, with every kind of people. His character was, yani, the character of Islam. And this is what we have to be. May Allah grant us success in it. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.